I do bring you greetings from Dallas, from the families there that have been praying for this. I'd like you to turn with me in God's Word, please, to Psalm 45. I want to talk this evening about the beauty of the church. We're here to conduct some business of the church, but there's a beautiful aspect to it, and I want to spend some time on that. Psalm 45, please give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, for the sons of Korah, a maskil, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Wherefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon the right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Our focus for this evening will be verses 13 and 14. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. In the reading of God's word, we are given a promise in Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer this evening is that God would bless the reading and the hearing and the application of his perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, one of the most beautiful and memorable occasions in life is our wedding day. It's the day when the husband is stricken with the beauty of his bride. And we have this tradition that we're not supposed to see the bride until that particular moment when she appears. And then all of her beauty is revealed all at once. And it's kind of an appropriate tradition. And all throughout then, we would pray a long and fruitful marriage that beauty is then forever etched into the memory of that groom. Through ups and downs, or better or worse, the beauty of the bride never fades. And we hope that's the case. For the one who's truly in love, that beauty is never forgotten. That moment in time is forever there. Well, the marriage between a man and a woman isn't just a sentimental or an enjoyable or a pragmatic or functional occasion. There's actually a very deep symbolic meaning to marriage. In fact, marriage itself pictures our precious union between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. And many scriptures bring this out, especially Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. You see that connection there between the behavior, between the two. And he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify. You know, this is the beauty of the bride for Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So you see, Christ provides for himself this beautiful, shining bride. And this is the way that we ought to view the church. I want to talk to you about the beauty of the church. The church is often referred in God's word as the bride of Christ. A number of scriptures, Revelation 21, Song of Solomon, filled with these wonderful statements about the beauty of the bride. Chapter 4, behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes, within thy locks thy hair is as a flock of goats. We chuckle at that when we read that. But that's a pretty fond compliment. And in many ways, this is the Lord Jesus Christ describing the beauty of his church. And so we see this all throughout the scriptures. And so that's why, really, we're talking about marriage here. It's such a shame, then, when so many in this world, they choose to disregard those precious vows. Marriage is, you know, viewed in a certain way in our culture. And so the interesting thing is that then marriage, it pictures one thing, but in discarding marriage, discarding it, then marriage ceases to picture the real union that Christ enjoys between himself and his people. So if marriage pictures the joining together of the church, then divorce pictures a theoretical breaking with Christ. You know, we know the church can't be broken away from Christ, but it's a picture of that theoretical possibility. So imagine that particular thing, if it could happen. Imagine that truth. The dissolving of marriage pictures the dissolving of the relationship between Christ and his church. And even more grievous, then, if union with Christ and between Christ and the bride pictures salvation, which it ultimately does, then the breaking of marriage pictures damnation. And so you can see then, begin to see that that's why in the Old Testament, partly so, that the death penalty was required for the adulterer in Leviticus chapter 20. Because it's not just the fact that two people got divorced, it's the fact that it's picturing breaking with Christ. And there's a deep symbolism there to marriage and a connection to how we understand Christ being united to the church. It's a serious offense then to break that. And you can also see then why God is so offended whenever there is unfaithfulness in Israel. And you see terms like adultery used whenever Israel is unfaithful to God in Jeremiah 3:8 and Matthew 12:39. Those terms, they make us uncomfortable, but they're fairly frequent in the scripture with the unfaithfulness of God's people. Well, and so that brings us then, as we want to consider the subject there of marriage, we want to take that seriously as we have gathered this evening, knowing that the church often stumbles in regard to this. The church is not always faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that brings us to tonight. You see, we have a glorious event before us. We are celebrating here the union of Christ and his church. We're bringing a pastor into the oversight of the church. This is a wonderful and beautiful thing, the calling and installing of a new pastor and a new church plant. Now, obviously, the calling of a pastor doesn't reach the height of a wedding. It's not quite the same thing. Well, a man and a woman are joined for life, but there are some parallels here. Sometimes a man is called to a different place and a different flock, and we understand the relationship between the two. But there's some parallels here that are very important. And we're focusing here on the beauty of the church, because it is in the context of that beauty that I think we will see tonight the beauty of your pastor here as he is installed in this very important role of oversight in the church. And so I want us to focus then tonight not only on, we're going to look at some of the ordinances of the church and their beauty, but I want you to see your pastor as being a part of that beautiful church. We don't always think of the church that way. You know, we don't necessarily always think of the church in a sense of being a beautiful bride and being something that is glorious and shining and gleaming, and as we'll see in our text, interwoven with gold as she is presented to her husband. Now, in this psalm, we don't have a lot of time to do some of the much-needed background work here. There's so much happening in this psalm. If we had the time, we could focus on the beauty of the groom in verses 1 through 8. Which describe the beauty of Christ. This psalm speaks of his purity, his majesty, his worthiness, his value, and his future. And if you'll notice, if you spend some time in this psalm, Christ is God in verses 6 and 7. You want to see, obviously it's all over the place, but proof of Christ's divinity is right here before us in verses 6 and 7. I don't want to skip over that, but we want to talk about something very specific in relation to that. So some of these truths will come up in our time in verse 13, but verse 13 really then describes for us the grand and majestic beauty of the church. The beauty of the church. Look at verse 13 with me. The king's daughter is all glorious within. That's important. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework, and the virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. So this is then here in Psalm 45, the bride being presented to the groom. This is the church being given to Christ. That's what's happening here in Psalm 45. Notice, and we'll come back to this, but she's a pagan. She's a pagan. She is given value by her union with Christ. And so we are called out of the pagan world, much like Abraham before us. We are called to Christ, and Christ gives us value by that covenantal bond that we enjoy, where he mediates on our behalf. He gives us worth. He makes us beautiful. That's the whole point of what we're talking about here tonight. Your pastor here is beautiful because of Christ. You're beautiful because of Christ. All that we're doing here tonight is beautiful because of Christ. We're not just making things up. We are beautiful because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, notice in the beauty of the church from verse 13, let's notice that she is beautiful within. The king's daughter is all glorious within. We're talking about two different things happening here in our text. Listen to Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. In case we missed the point there, we are made righteous by Christ, by our union with him. So we're going to spend a lot of our portion of our time here talking about the visible golden threads that run throughout this gown here of this particular bride, which is the church. But I don't want you to forget, though, because we're going to come back to this at the end, that there is an inner glory, an inner beauty because of Christ. But those are two different things. And I want to hope to differentiate between those as we go. There is that which is within, that is that which is spiritual and unseen. It is something that is a vision of beauty. It is marvelous to behold. The beauty that we have within because of Christ is a beautiful and majestic thing. And again, by way of application, we tend to take that for granted, just like we tend to take for granted the outward beauty of the church. Well, I want us to focus on the gown in our time here. And I want us to see that her clothing is of wrought gold. Now, here in this dress is a wonderful picture of her worth. The word usage is kind of interesting here in verse 13. Her clothing is of wrought gold. To be wrought, that's an old word, but it means to be beaten out or shaped by hammering. And it implies in this particular passage to be something that is interwoven with gold, real gold, interwoven throughout the dress. And so other translations, the NASB and the ESV in particular, they describe her robe as being interwoven with gold. Imagine such a vision of beauty and worthiness. How important are you that you're wearing something that's interlaced with gold? My oldest daughter was married a few months ago. It was a beautiful and wonderful occasion. So I know a little bit about how much wedding dresses cost. I think it actually was made of gold. But you can see then the vision that's here is something that it catches our attention. And the use of the Hebrew word here, it's fascinating because it's only here in Psalm 45 and then twice more in Exodus 28 and 29. It's actually used eight times in Exodus 28 and 39. And there it describes the ephod. The ephod that is worn by Aaron and his sons, and also the breastplate. So you can see the connection between the ephod and the breastplate, and then also the dress that's here put upon the bride. Exodus 28 says, verse 11, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel, and thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. That's an old way to say that, but the ESV uses the word filigree. So the weaving of gold into cloth or beaten into shapes. And so then that's on the ephod holding the stone. Just the beauty of that, think about that. The names of the children of Israel are there in gold put upon. It's just a beautiful thing. And that's the same word that's used here in Psalm 45. So let's talk then about the threads of gold in the wedding dress of the church. Let's talk about the threads of gold. We're going to look at five of these and just kind of briefly introduce them. But these are the things of beauty in the outward presentation of the church. The threads of gold. What are the threads of gold in the gown of the church? Well, first of all, obviously with some primacy here, the thread of the means of grace. You see, the word of God is that shining gold thread that is woven all throughout the church. Because of Christ, the Word, it then adorns everything that we do. It's wrapped around and interweaved with everything that we do in the church. This thread, in particular, is not just some simple, gaudy decoration, but these threads, they envision the true worth of the church. This is a part of our worth, is that we have the means of grace. In fact, we have nothing today without the Word of God. We have nothing without the Word of God. It has a central place in everything that we do. By its being interwoven then throughout the church, it holds together and it supports all of the other threads. The Word of God is that shining and beautiful thread throughout the wedding gown of the church. And so by way of application, we would ask, how often do we devalue the precious Word of God? Do we treat it as though it truly is a thread of gold holding together everything that we do? Well, so few churches actually do see the centrality of the Word of God today. So few churches see the true beauty of the Word of God, the whole Word of God. And lots of churches pick out a few parts they like, but do they actually see the value of every line and every word? Is it truly in your life? Is it a thread of gold holding together everything that you do? Is it truly something that you have given value to? Because Christ has given value to His Word. Now, instead today, the church often is turned to the true beauty and wisdom of the world. They see beauty in the world. They see wisdom in the world, and it guides them. Many churches are guided by the world whenever they do their business, whenever they decide how to worship, whenever they want to entertain people in the church. They just go to the world. They do what the world does. And that's easy because it's natural and it's also sinful. The Bible is the guide for all of those things that we're talking about here tonight. And also we would say the sacraments and prayer are also threads of gold woven all throughout the gown of the church. Now these threads are especially then serving for us as a reminder of how Christ is covering us with this beautiful gown, transforming us and changing us into His image. And what does that more perfectly than the means of grace themselves? This is Christ doing this work. Remember, He's the one adorning His bride. He's the one giving value to the bride. Christ is giving value to the means of grace. And He's giving value to us all tonight, the church. Samuel Lee was a Puritan pastor in London under Cromwell, leaned more toward independency than Presbyterianism, but has an interesting thing here to say about this particular psalm. Samuel Lee says, our spiritual Solomon changes the hue of his Egyptian wife to deem of things and persons as her Lord and husband judges, and frames her spirit to delight in doing His will and pleasure, and to take the highest solace in obedience, to enjoy a heavenly freedom mixed with amiable and joyful reverence. He roots out of her heart all changeable affections and worldly fancies, and hankering longings after the fond fashions of Shechem, and all carnal inclinations to the daughters of Canaan's lineage, and all of the beggarly humors of the besotted world, and to pass by with a holy scorn all of the pitiful pageantry of this perishing and fading life, and rise to a mean estimate of the baubles and trifles that enchant a carnal heart. At length she arrives to a noble and generous judgment, counting all but dung and dross, that she may win Christ, as her Prince of Life was crucified by the world for her redemption. She begins to be crucified to it in a token of conformity to Him, and at length becomes all glorious within. I love the wording there, the way he describes that. She becomes glorious by His work. She becomes worthy by His work. And so here then in Psalm 45, the bride, it's very interesting, if we had more time on some of these other verses, the bride is told to forget her pagan lineage and to worship her Lord. Look at verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider it, incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. So a second thread, we've seen the means of grace. We could spend a lot more time there. But a second thread woven all throughout the dress is the gospel itself. The gospel itself, that is that golden thread. It's lovely and shining, glorious, and reflecting the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. and it's running all throughout this gown, interwoven with the other golden threads. Like the word, the sacrament and prayer, it touches all of the other threads so that all that we do in the church then is connected to the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. Now, the gospel, it defines our worth. There's so much more to be said here. It wonderfully is laid out for us in the scripture that I read earlier in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Christ changes us through the gospel message, and He turns us into what He would have us to be as His bride. Now, just moving through some of these. Thirdly, then, another thread that is woven throughout the dress is the law of God. The law of God, specifically with the Word of God. All of the laws of God are precious to us. They're given for our good. They guide us. They are threads of gold to us. And they are a shining evidence there, then, of the worth of the church. And it's so strange, really. Every one of these things, we could make more applications. The church doesn't even really believe in the law anymore. How many churches don't even care anything about the law of God? Well, it's part of our beauty, woven all throughout the dress. And just for the sake of time, let's look at one particular commandment. And again, there's so much more to say. Let's look at the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a thread of gold. It's woven all throughout the dress. It's a precious gift to us that is terribly neglected in the church today. And instead, then, of it being a day to be neglected, Christ gives us this day. It's a treasure to us. It's not simply then an ornament of our worth, that it is, but it's also a guide to us, a day that guides us in all of life, a monument then of the rest that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what happens then when the church no longer wants to keep the Sabbath? It attempts, and it can't do this, but it attempts to tear then from the fabric of the beauty of the church. And so sadly then, the vast majority of the churches in the world today that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have attacked the beauty of Christ's bride, seeking in no uncertain terms, graphically so at times, to tear the Sabbath from the very fabric of God's Word. And sometimes people even saying things like, well, there are 9 commandments because that one doesn't matter anymore. And we want to be careful here not to, we can press our analogy too far, but do imagine that visual of what it would happen if we were to pull that thread of Christ's Sabbath from the dress, the gown of the bride. What would that look like? Yeah, visually, I think this is an appropriate application to make. Imagine the disorder, the carnage, the destruction of her beauty, if possible, to just pull out all the threads that we don't like in the dress that actually make it beautiful. What would it look like? Yeah, imagine that happening to a bride's dress in our time. It would be a picture of disorder and ugliness. But you see, those who sinfully discard the Sabbath are actually laboring to unravel that grand and beautiful dress in Psalm 45. That's what they're doing. And they don't realize they're doing that. But this is one of the reasons why the church is in such shambles today. It's one of the reasons why the church is ugly to the world. Because we've tried to tear away those things that actually make us beautiful. The church today spends more time trying to destroy her dress than to honor it. And what a sad thing that actually is. And we could do the same thing with all 9 of the other commandments. Let's look to the fourth thread, the thread of worship. The thread of worship. This is another beautiful golden thread that is woven all throughout the gown of the church. And I think that's certainly particularly precious to us in the RPCNA. So I won't labor the point. We don't perfectly honor worship as we should, but we do try. And we see the value of the regulative principle of worship. Our denomination does stand on these principles. But let's try to see today that worship is one of these threads. It is precious to us, at least it should be. And worship is also by being woven all throughout the dress. It's a part of everything we do in the church. It's connected to everything else. In the Larger Catechism, question 110 asks, what are the reasons annexed to the second commandment, the more to enforce it? Long answer. We're just going to look at a section here. They are, besides God's sovereignty over us and propriety in us, His fervent zeal for His own worship and His revengeful indignation against all false worship as being a spiritual whoredom. Those are those words we don't like to use, but this is how God sees false worship. And it's an interesting thing here in this answer, the Westminster Divines, His propriety in us, they send us to Psalm 45 and verse 11 as an example of that. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. You see, that's part of Christ's propriety in us. He owns us. And so His beauty is a thing that is His. And so when we start trying to pull out those things in the dress that we don't like and we try to unravel the beauty of the church, we're attacking Christ. We're attacking His bride. And it's amazing really to see how the church does this so often. And I honestly think most often the case, not even realizing that she's doing so. Now, all of these golden threads that we're talking about, each one of them, they shine forth to the world in which we live. They're an example. The dress is something you see. It's a visible thing. Remember we said she's beautiful inside? Well, she's here beautiful on the outside. Worship is something that's visible. It's something you see. When the world sees our worship, they see one of our identifying marks. They see the beauty and the worth of the bride shining and glimmering. They see her shining forth her importance, her value in the world, and also the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, we're not just shining forth our worth in the dress, we're shining forth Christ's worth. Because ultimately, the worth and the value we have comes from Him. And so we're attacking Christ, in a sense, when we try to unravel the beauty of this dress. Now, in the thread of worship here, if we had some more time, we could also see then this thread that's woven all throughout the gown of the church. We could also talk about the particular elements of worship. What about the Psalms? The Psalms are a golden thread running all throughout the gown. What about preaching? Preaching is a golden thread all throughout the gown. They have value and worth. These are the ways we show forth the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's then come to see finally, not last, but for our time today, the thread of order. The thread of order. Our form of church government is a thread of gold all throughout the gown, because it's given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a mark of our beauty and our worth. And it is something that we should treasure and something that we should keep. Not only is the church beautiful because of who she is, remember, we're made beautiful on the inside, but Christ makes us beautiful on the outside by our order, by our orderliness. And not everyone would agree. I love presbytery meetings and session meetings and synod and things like that. The Lord's put that desire in my heart, because they're probably not that beautiful in and of themselves. But orderliness is precious. And nothing is more beautiful than the courts of the church working properly as they should. This is a golden thread throughout the gown. So as then the wheels of presbytery turn and people are cared for and people are respected and honored and all of those things are given to each and every church member, orderliness is put on display for the world. The gospel is preached and new babies are baptized and dying saints are laid to rest in Christ. You see, the passing of time helps us to see the grand work of the church. We don't always see it in that particular moment of the day. But church government is a work of beauty. in a world that's fallen into the clutches of sin. You see, the world is modeling for us disorder and decay, but the church models beauty and order. And how much different would the world be if we truly honored and kept these things as we should? Now, again, like many of these precious threads, the church often treats church government like something that's optional. The Bible doesn't tell us how to govern a church, so we just do what we want. We do whatever's pragmatic, whatever works. Well, that's not true. But many want to make themselves to unwittingly be the final judge and jury of all matters of religion. They want to decide how the church is governed, and so they invent new forms of church government. But by doing so, they ignore the divine form of church government. I love the vow that's taken earlier. This is the way that God has commanded us to govern the church. Christ has given us this example in the apostles of a Presbyterian form of church government. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. Don't miss the beauty of order woven throughout this dress. Be committed to these principles, the wonderful and beautiful things that are involved with church government. The things that might seem to be boring and bland are actually beautiful things. Now tonight, we want to see then that elders and ministers are a part of these beautiful threads of gold that reach all throughout the gown. Now, we'll talk some about how this works, but whatever we do then in the church as elders, we are using and displaying these wonderful and beautiful threads of gold. Like all of the other threads, though, Christ is the reason for them. Christ is the reason why church government is beautiful. I can't make it beautiful. You can't make it beautiful. Christ has made church government beautiful. He's given it meaning. He's given value to it. And so here in Bryan, Texas, I would hope that you would look to your pastor today. You would see him as being beautiful. See in him then all of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. See in him interwoven with all of these threads of gold. He is administering them in the way that Christ has commanded. I hope he's a treasure to you in the years to come. My friends, today, cast your eyes upon the church and her beautiful gown. It is flowing down from her, revealing all of her worth, all laced with golden threads. And she is gleaming in the brightness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There, in that dress, shines the ordinances of the church. There shines as well the means of grace, both all woven throughout her gown. The Word of God gleaming and bright, its threads touching everything all throughout the church, everything that we do, upholding and enforcing and protecting everything that we do. What do clothes do to us? What do our clothes do? They protect us. They support us. They hide some things. So there's an important role to the dress that Christ constructs for his church. And these threads are all held together by one another. There in that dress shines the Lord's Supper and prayer, essential elements of the glorious gown that wraps all around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, tonight, on display, shines our decency and our order. There shines church government. These threads, then, they are woven all around your pastor and your elders. And all of those tonight who support and pray for you, your commission, all of those here tonight are all woven in and out with these beautiful threads of gold. Your pastor tonight, I pray that you would see that on his own, He is beautiful. But on his own, he's not beautiful in the same way as he is in Christ. In fact, all of us here, all who are elders in the church, we're actually dull and lifeless. And there's really not much to us. We're coarse and we're brittle. We're unrefined. We're lost without Christ. But having been then taken by Christ and woven into this precious garment, interlaced with the Word, the sacrament, and prayer, fashioned by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made to shine like we would never have done on our own. If your elders and your pastor are beautiful, it's because of Christ. You see, the opposite of that is that there's a wolf in the church. The wolf is the one who raises himself up to fracture away a part of the church, maybe to become a leader and to please his own pride. But you see, no matter how wealthy or worldly, in a worldly way, that person might seem to be famous or important, that pastor will never gleam like the humble and lowly pastor who waits for the church, presbytery, and honors the threads of gold. The one who waits for the proper authority, for the proper sanction for his ministry. And that's why we're here tonight. We are here tonight because Living Way, Reformed Presbyterian Church, Mission Church, is a part of the Midwest Presbytery. And they've called Pastor Steve Rockhill to be their pastor. They have bound themselves to the Midwest Presbytery. They are under her authority, where they have honored then the beauty of the Bride of Christ. They have given honor to the threads throughout the dress. They have turned, they have cast their eyes upon the threads woven all throughout the gown. And they are beautiful by their doing so. And so what we do here tonight is a beautiful thing. We have honored the means of grace. We have submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and His kingship and His leadership and His headship of the church. We have honored the ordinances of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have honored the order and the decency of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have shown respect for the beauty of the bride. That's why we're so slow at times and careful with what we do. And we don't always do it right, but we see value in the order of the church. Now, as a final reminder, please, my friends, today too often the church is a laughingstock of our culture. It's led by untrained men, ungodly men, at times ignorant men, who are obviously only in ministry to gain from the sheep. We all know the wolves who feed on the sheep. We know the examples of men who approach ministry like a cowboy driving cattle rather than a shepherd who leads the sheep. We have to be careful in how we go about our ministry today. But let's then turn to consider the true minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be a respected leader in the community. Being a pastor is an honorable position of certain influence and respect, not so much anymore in our culture. But being a pastor is truly a gift of God. It is a gleaming and precious thing, covered in gold, covered in the threads woven all throughout the gown. But you might say, in objection tonight, Pastor, that's just, it's not like you say. That's not the way it is. The church today is ugly. It's broken. And it's beyond repair. How can you say that the church is a thing of beauty? Well, I hope what you see tonight is that the brokenness of the church does not reside in the dress. You see, the dress is flawless. The dress is prepared by Christ. The means of grace, the gospel, worship, church government are all pure and perfect. They're what they ought to be. The problem is with us. And is what is within that is flawed? Because we are the church. We are the church. Christ has made us to be his people. And we are within the gown. The gown wraps around us. Well, we're fallen. We're sinful. But what I hope you would see today from Psalm 45 is that there is hope here. Sure, the ordinances are perfect, but I'm not. We'll see in Psalm 45 that the Lord Jesus Christ here makes us pure within. You see, the church is made pure and acceptable and righteous by Christ. He's already made the Word and the sacraments and prayer and worship, and he's already made church government and these things to be pure and perfect. We're the ones who distort them. But Christ even takes us in our sin and he changes us. He makes us to be beautiful. Now, it's always possible in the hearing of God's word tonight, maybe you are a stranger to Christ. And maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know the one who makes his bride to be so lovely and worthy. Because you know sin. Maybe you won't admit sin if you're apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight, if you are a stranger to Christ, I call you in the presence of his people and in the hearing of his holy word to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to him. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit changes your heart and draws you to Christ. You will see true beauty, because you will be made beautiful in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will become a part of that beautiful bride. This thing we've read about tonight, you don't have if you're apart from Christ. You never will on your own. You will never be beautiful apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. Christian, this evening, we're not simply putting on a show tonight. Not just procedure, and it's not dry, and it's not boring. What we're doing tonight is actually showing our high view of what we're reading about in Psalm 45. We are actually honoring the golden threads woven all throughout the gown. And I pray tonight that each of us would be convicted by God's word to show more value to these things, to see how important that they truly are. And for us each, one, to see that our true value comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever wonderful ministry I know will come from your very wonderful and beautiful new pastor, as he is now brand new, shining and glimmering and beautiful, it will come from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if I should say this, but he's not perfect. I got an amen out of that. Well, here's the part that people don't like to hear. Living Way Reformed Presbyterian Church, you're not perfect either. You're fallen. And on your own, I don't mean to be rude, but you're ugly. You see, you're made beautiful in Christ. And so remember the principles that we've talked about here tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ makes what we're doing beautiful. And we are honoring that beautiful, that beauty by what we do tonight. Would you stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father in heaven, help us to see the true beauty of the church. Help us to see that there's nothing within us to testify of beauty on our own. Help us to see that our beauty comes from another. Our beauty comes from Christ. Grant us, we pray, eyes and ears to see and honor the Lord Jesus Christ as the only source and maintenance of our loveliness in this world. And help us, we pray, to be lovely in Christ. In his name, We pray. Amen.